I would say the first thing that comes to mind is mental health awareness. Why I say so? Because we live in a society right now, and as I'm saying that, I feel old saying that. Because a lot of people, especially old people, talk like that, like society today is bad. Mm. But let's say that on the one hand, we can say that there is more awareness. Awareness is increasing on a lot of, I would say, topics that perhaps before were taboo, so were not considered as much. Let's think about how gender issues are coming back into, are actually not coming back, are coming into the agenda and public debate, and there's much more awareness. But I think that one point that on which we still lack more, I would say, sensibility, is mental health. And I would like both my governments, I'm an Italian citizen, to do more for that, especially supporting financially and economically people that don't have the means but would like to start a psychological, psychotherapeutical, therapeutical? Today I got broken English, I'm sorry. treatment, but sometimes it's very difficult, especially considering the state of our public health system. Mental health is a big topic. We have gotten to a point in our sort of development, societal development, in which the main concern is growth, economic growth. Mm-hmm. And all this emphasis on economic growth, which is not anymore community growth, but it's more individual growth, like individual economic growth. For example, let's look at the educational and university offer that we have, not only in Italy, but we have in Europe, in the US. And let's look at what is the economic offer. Where do people go? People go to do marketing, go to do management, go to do finance. And I mean, it's important. If you have a productive system that go that way, it's reasonable and it's logical that people will go there, because this is where, that is where the money are. But on the other hand, I think this is more a general question. We're going from mental health to a more general question. Is that truly what the main goal should be?
Mattia is doing a PhD at the Louis University in Rome. Last time I told you about Martina and her 20 cats. Mattia doesn't have 20 of them, but I am sure that he wished he had 20 bulldogs, because he told me that he has a passion for them. And he added that he liked especially French bulldogs. I don't know if I should take it as a compliment. Anyway, I'm now prepared to record an episode with all the animal lovers, but for this time, let's hear what Mattia had to say.
In our system, in our productive system, the main goal is growth, it's economic growth. We have that in mind. This is what we are taught, taught since we grow. The fact is that this productive system has not only consequences on, has not only material consequences, has also immaterial consequences. And immaterial consequences concern the cultural side, the socio-cultural side. And I think that behind this sort of emphasis on economic growth, there is also a kind of mindset that is going to, that is instilled into people, on us, on everyone. And this ultimately may create a lot of problems. One of these, I think, that is maybe also this lack of sensibility that we have in society right now. I mean, this is a very general, very, very butchered idea that I have. I mean, now, right now, we are in a, I think, in a even different era. We are in an era of turbo capitalism, in a sense.
Which is what Marx intensified capitalism.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, okay. I mean, capitalism has grown and is sort of reached different fields of our common life, and Even social media, for example, all the technology field has been commodified.
Yeah. I mean, I hear everything you say. I'm wondering about something, which is that in the polls, at least in France, it's the case, the number one issue of French people, and maybe it's a clear example of what you're describing. Number one issue that people have is daily life and the cost of life and how they're gonna, be able to live and bear all the costs in their daily life. And yeah, I see this indeed this pursuit of economic growth, etc., that people may well criticize and think that it's not so good, etc. But then there's the new iPhone which is out, and then everybody's jumping on it,
And yeah. And everything that comes out from our capitalist society is something to get. It's something to jump on the train.
Yeah.
And I think that it's on the one hand you cannot say it's not good, even if you have to clarify what good means. Because if you clarify this, perhaps yes, it's good. Because for such a system to sustain itself, you need people to buy, and you need people to follow this system.
Yeah.
On the other hand, we should be a bit more aware of how our values are sort of structured. Mm. And then, of course, everyone is free to live its life, but I think that we are so much into this system that we are not even aware of what is going on around us, and we are not even aware of our own decisions.
I believe it's very the case, because even for me, I realized that I could go, I would be the first to want to buy the new iPhone or something, and then it's true that, but only afterwards, after being in this endless pursuit for economic growth of me, etc., then I realize, well, what I'm doing with my life? I'm just pursuing more and more every time some economic growth, etc. But is that really the most important value, like you were saying about values? So it's something that maybe we get into that, but we realize only after that we are getting trapped and not being aware of that system, of our pursuit toward that.
I would say that in a sort of sense, we are moving from a social community to an economic community. So the common ground that we find is not more on, 100 years ago, for example, it was more nationality, for example, national culture. Mm. Or it can be just the place where you live. So you create a community, a group, and social norms that regulate how you behave with others. Now, what we find increasingly less in society and in our Western society. Indeed, what I can feel and perceive is that there is much more detachment between people, and there is much less empathy. On the other hand, we are becoming so much more connected on another level, which is our consumistic behavior, which is becoming very much unified, I would say. And the problem that I see is that perhaps in this economic community that we have, we don't have a strong unifying narrative that we can get truly along, and on which we can create something that is for everybody, I would say.
So at the end, what you're describing with this, so with the lack of empathy for others, the pursuit for economic growth, etc., especially for some people, that's very much a critique of individualism as well, this model where
I would say so, because I'm sorry that I hijacked a bit your podcast.
Well, because we started
from mental health,
no,
which
but that's
is still there.
No, but this is exactly, it's connected at the end, because you're linking both.
But it's to go there, to arrive to that point, you have to understand where you are. where you are and what your place is in contemporary society. Mm. And I mean, you can choose. I mean, I don't know how much you can choose actually, but you can choose to have your opinion. That's for sure. Mm. You can choose that. And this is, I think, what I'm doing, because of course I'm giving you and I'm telling you what I think about our society right now, but this doesn't mean that I am sort of rejecting our system.
Yeah,
it's not that, because if not, I would not be buying Clark's shoes or having
balance,
a watch, something like that. I don't want to be looked upon as a hypocrite.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I mean, the choice is, okay, let's talk about mental health issues. But just take it like this in our system, in our capitalist system, and what we can do to improve it. Mm. Another way is perhaps to put into question, more generally, our system and how it produces this problem and these issues. And I mean, if we go back to Freud and if we go back to psychology, that's the point. It's like the mental problems that people face and have to address to fit in society. This is what psychology is about. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, that's I think the point. So
you say, what's in the, at the end, what's the root of the problem?
So I'm not saying that, I don't know actually. I don't know if changing our system will change.
No, because indeed you're saying even that you're not saying that you would like to change the system.
No, I'm into that. And it would be very difficult to take everything and like leave this sort of system. I wouldn't even know how to do it actually. But I think that we need more awareness on mental health awareness. So from where these problems may come from. And as you said rightly, the problem of individualism, I think that may be considered sort of root of, I come back to a masterpiece of social science, which is a study from a study of the end of the 1800s on what causes suicide in different countries. Mm-hmm. And what the author found was that the cause, and mainly suicide, was related to individualist society. So you got suicide mainly in societies that had this individualistic value. Mm. And that incarnated this individualistic value.
Yeah.
And so it's something that we have to keep in mind. I think this is very important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's vital in that case, I would say even.
Yeah.
So let's say that it's very hard to pinpoint, to understand where does that come from exactly, and also when did societies turn individualistic. It's very hard to find the origin, no? So
in a certain sense can be also our natural, instinctive, evolutionary predisposition to be individualistic, in a sense. In another sense, this could be debated.
Yeah, I mean, because for sure we have both. We have a self-interest. Everybody's having their self-interest. And also we rely on others for surviving, etc. So I think, you know, there are these metaphors which are from one from Schopenhauer, one from Kant, but the Schopenhauer one, it's a hedgehog, you know, this animal, like that, with many...
Yeah, yeah.
And they are basically... next to each other and trying to get closer to each other because they need each other. And then because of this, I don't know how to call that, on their back, they hurt each other. So then they go a bit further, but they still want to be close. So, you know, it's this tension between we would like to be alone and at the same time, we need the others.
Yeah, in a sense, we are social animals on the other end.
On the other end, maybe not. Yes, Kant was speaking of the unsociable sociability of the human being or something like that, which I think is a nice way. But so, apart from that, I think it would be like way too hard to go back to where it comes from, etc. But maybe what's one thing that do you think could improve the situation, at least in our society? Because as you say now, rates of suicide are apparently rising, especially in this kind of societies, and I find not hard to believe it.
Yeah.
So, do you have any idea of something that could improve and maybe break a bit this individualism and bring back some empathy and mental health?
I think that one thing that we can do now is to break the taboo, which is still a taboo. Talking about suicide, talking about mental health, is still very much a taboo. Mm. How this can be done? I think that both this should be done and should be addressed already in our educational system. So people, perhaps not from middle school, but from high school, they should receive more, I would say, education on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is very important to get ourselves aware of what mental health is and what, and there is another sphere of the human being, this our, I would say, personal sphere, that as individuals, perhaps sometimes we completely disregard, as we are set to do this and that.
We are back, and now we've got coats because it got really cold, and I had a technical issue, the microphone was not working, so I hope I can bring that back on the audio. Hopefully I had the backup, but let's see how it goes. Anyway, we are still in this super wonderful landscape and still with Mattia, who's talking us about mental health and individualism at the end. And we were talking about how to tackle the issue. So,
It's a difficult question. It's a difficult answer. What I would do right now in the short term is trying to tackle it with our educational system. And this means, first of all, introduce classes, courses, especially from high school, on mental health awareness. So try to sort of getting students to understand that there is a personal side of us. And sometimes it's very difficult to deal with it if you don't have the tools to do it. And because most of the time, what we see and how we see how we live is psychological help is something for the sick, something for people that are not well with their mind.
Mm.
So it's something that is confined to an outer world, while it's not like this.
Something which becomes again taboo, and that people would think it's not for them. It shouldn't be for them. Otherwise, it means they have a big problem. And
this, of course, as you say, creates also a lot of resistance towards asking mental health and treatment. And because we created a taboo, we created a sort of taboo on our mental health. And so, trying to give already guys the tools to get an understanding of themselves, I think that would be very beneficial to them, and it could change also the way in which we sort of interact with
I hope there's some progress about that. And a funny thing about that, I mean, I follow the French news, and they have introduced some classes about empathy. It's the first time I hear about that. So now they start to have classes about empathy, which is very linked to mental health.
I think there is much more. As I said, I don't want to look things all negatively, because it would be I would be a fool by saying that nothing has changed. And this is not what I meant. things have changed. And I think that we should go into that direction and sort of stress this world, an entire world that we are tabutizing. I don't know if this can be used as a new word.
So
I think education, and then, I mean, I always wish in a very enlightened government that could sort of drive and bring forward also this perspective, I would say, this perspective.
Yeah.
And
so at the level of society, education, and hopefully a state which is guiding in the good direction society. And this podcast is originally called One Change in the World, just because it comes from a quote by Gandhi, that saying which says, be the change you want to see in the world. And so at the individual level, do you think that something can be done about that?
Yeah, I think that something can be done. And something that I can do is to get people, the people that I met, that I meet, and the people I'm with, to be more aware of also their individual self. And that sometimes we are not trained to be with ourselves and to know ourselves. This is a path that I've undertaken, and I'm undertaking, to try and know myself more, to try and know my what can be some issues, what can be some solutions. And what I can do is with other people is to make people more aware, also to sort of break and destroy some taboos that people hold.
So you're saying with others, let's say breaking the taboo, with ourselves being more aware of who we are and how we feel and how it's going with ourselves as well. And I perceive, but I'm not sure you meant that, but I imagine you could mean that as well, to maybe care more about how the other person feel and ask them, how do you feel, and like have this empathy and establish this communication with others.
And this is also a break from individualism that we were talking about. Sometimes we need to do that. Sometimes it's very important. It would be amazing if it would be always like that. But sometimes we have to break from that individualism that makes up our everyday life.
So you would mean, for example, I'm trying to think of a concrete example, maybe once you see someone who's like doesn't seem to be in such a bad mood, but you don't really know exactly why, and that would be going to that person and asking something like, how do you feel, do you want to talk of something or whatever? Or
I mean, it would be amazing. Like, this is something I would do, I've done. But that you need I'm not saying that I'm trained, but I would say that you need an eye to do that. And with time, if you take more time to train yourself in also observing also social situations.
So to have this sensitivity that we're talking about, like to understand, to get to have the nuance to understand the other person, right?
Yeah, that would be important.
And like, I don't know if people are equipped with that capacity. Just
that's
is that something that you, so maybe hence the role of education that you were talking about?
Yeah, that brings us back to that. So to the fact that, of course, people have different sensitivities, but at the same time, if people are not given the tools to sort of develop the sensitivities, this empathy, then you cannot expect these people to be 20 years to be people that understand this sort of thing. So
okay, and let's that's on the individual level. We did also education, we did the state. I'm wondering if, you know, social network, as you said, are a buffer. So at the end, counterintuitively, they're called social networks, but it seems like it's actually enhancing in a way individualism or something. My question is, is there a way to switch that in a way that makes social networks really helpful for mental health? Do you think it's possible or no? It would come in.
Well, that's also a very difficult question, because if you think, as you said rightly, social networks were born to, let's say, link, connect people.
That supposedly, was,
But then, as everything in society, everything is repurposed and gets a new function. new function. And in a sense, if we look at perhaps Instagram was created for that function, but more generally social media have changed very quickly the function that they had to have to accommodate perhaps people's tendencies. And one of our tendency is the one to being noticed, and this is something that we search for.
Yeah, and they play a lot on that.
Yeah, of course, and this is what the turbo capitalism is right now, because it's always trying to find a way to make good profit, and this is very evaluative, value-free perspective on that. I'm not giving negative connotation to that. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
If we think of what is behind a social media, and we're now experiencing the boom of shorts, of TikTok, kind of social media, and this extremism of short-term consumption, it's getting to such levels. And so I don't know if there can be a repurpose, unless you put some very strong barriers on what can be done, on the platform, or what cannot be done on the platform.
What can you give me some examples of what you mean by that?
Like if you want people just to connect, then you make people just connect, so talk among each other.
Yeah.
And this is what blogs or just simple messaging was.
So basically, it would be to have Twitter, let's imagine, or whatever conversation tool, but without the number of likes, of retweets, of buzz, etc.
You're going into a very, very difficult topic, because then you see it starts to create attention. How much we can go until we sort of cut and dilute personal freedom and autonomy. What people can do, what people cannot do, what people can say, what people can talk about, and sort of regulate every aspect of social networks. I think that one thing that we could do, but this is unrelated to perhaps our main topic, is to sort of regulate fake news on social media, for example, which is a big issue and has been a big issue. Or like extreme content that we see sometimes on Facebook, especially regulating the access for underage.
Yeah, but taking measures people as strong as that, you wouldn't do that for the purpose of mental health.
That's big.
It's very hard question.
It's very hard. Yeah. It's very hard, because on the one hand, I would say in an ideal world, I wouldn't even like to have social media. But I don't feel in the shoes to then impose something like that on people, you know. That's why I was talking about education, how we can sort of incentivize people at least to reconsider.
But I think in a way, maybe that's the key, because if you get people to be aware of that, maybe by themselves, they will. So you will not need, let's say, to put censorship or something strong, or to remove a system to forbid some stuff. But maybe people from themselves, that should be the key, that from themselves they realize the impact that such a system has on their mental health and the rate of suicide in their country. And maybe that, hopefully, by themselves they make the wise decision in not participating in that.
I think this is the next goal, the next step of our community, and more generally of our society and our government. And perhaps what always has been. So try to find the balance between a very crucial right, which is personal freedom, individual freedom on the one hand, and then what is sort of awareness that we were talking about. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. But I mean, it was very difficult also in the past when we had a lot of transformation in our society. Let's think about the last 200 years. Now, of course, we are in a new world, and everything to us seems to be changing so fast. Yet I think that we can still have the capacity to grab these developments and to at least try to redirect and try also to control for some of the worst consequences that this can create.
Yeah, so many ideas there. Yeah. We actually explored many more topics, even more than I thought we would.
Yeah.
Maybe to conclude, so for the first episode I did the summary, but then I was wondering, is it better that the person I talk with do the summary? So let's just try it, and then I'll see if in the future I'll do it. Maybe could you make a summary of our talk?
I mean, that was a very convoluted discussion, I would say, in many parts. I didn't make so much sense, but what I wanted to try to say is that, I mean, what came to mind as the main problem, what I would change in the world was, and is still, mental health awareness. But to sort of try to understand mental health awareness, I think that we have to take a step back. This is not to say that mental health is not a problem that we would not encounter in another system, social or economic, whatever system, but we need to understand the roots, or at least part of the factors that may contribute to it. And one of these, this is my personal opinion at least, is that we live in an ever-increasing individualistic society. And so the problem of individualism, especially in a society in which we get so many changes and we get the era of new technologies, social media, and is of turbo capitalism, as I said. Is ever more important, as you rightly also included into the discussion. We, and as now the name came back, as Durkheim said, found, is that individualism is often related to a higher rate of suicide. And the problem of suicide is, let's for example think about cyberbullying, for example, is something that it was worth mentioning. And so we have to consider all these things. And finally, what we can do right now is to get people to be more aware.
It's already the end of the academic year and thus of the first season. I want to thank you so much if you have listened until now, because that means you're not only my very first support, but also my very second support that exists. Thank you for that, have a nice summer holiday, and see you on the 1st of September for a new season.